stemmen.
What the fuck was that?
That's me trying to do the Black Mirror intro.
I didn't even know the Black Mirror had an intro. I've been focusing on the stories.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even bother watching it. I was just like, wow, what a fucking intro that was.
Oh, that was a dead good intro. I like that one.
That's me done for the day, guys.
That's what I do with Friends, is I just watch the intro and then skip to the next episode. That's just me. I can chain the entire series of Friends and just go, and then on to the next one.
Yeah, and on to the next you just do the clap and you're like, oh, that was good. Okay, again. And then gets to the end of the series and you're like, oh, there's none left.
And then I restart it, naturally.
Jesus. Imagine people did that. Imagine people just watched the intros of stuff and like that was it, and then they just switch off. That would be ridiculous.
And they know the Family Guy theme song really well and they like sing it like in like an operatic tone. And then it gets to the end and they go, ah, much better, and they just turn it off. Just as it's like a external shot of the clam or something. No, 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 and then it just goes off.
Or maybe
nope,
even
I don't want to see what Quagmire and everybody gets up to. I just want to watch the song.
Even like films, maybe like they watch all the adverts and then it comes to like just the title coming up in the film, and then they just leave everyone en masse. Just yeah. Watch.
Or it's like one of those. It was like an old school thing. You see it in like films from the '70s and the '80s where they had all the credits at the start of the film.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Predator starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then a long list of people you haven't heard of, and then the crew, and it's like, and then watch all those and think, God, I love that font. That font's really good, and the way they're displaying these against the music, that's really good as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really enjoying this title sequence. Then opening shot of Predator, which is like, I don't know, probably a helicopter flying through the air or something. And then they're like, oh, yep, this is the part I don't want to see. So they leave for an hour and a half, come back for the end credits.
Take note of everyone that worked on it. Just purely appreciative of the people that worked in the film. I think that sounds a bit nicer, I guess.
Or like the Marvel movies where they have those mid and end credit sequences. It's like watches the opening trailers and that the Marvel logo thing, which is like so horrendously flashing. I think this must be a nightmare for epileptic people.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I really want to see the new Captain America film, but on the same level. But like they just watch those and then leave the cinema for, I don't know, 2 hours and 59 minutes or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And come back and watching the credits, and then they're like, oh, it's an end credit sequence, and they slam their hands over their ears,
close
their eyes. Yeah.
So they've been tricked, they've been duped by
forced to watch a
Kevin Feige and the other one.
Stan Lee? I have no idea.
No, Stan Lee is just sort of I don't know if he was like involved in the writing of the stuff, but he did make like a cameo in like every film.
Until
he sadly passed away. Do you know someone that I think that'd be quite like funny if someone just watched the end credit sequences of all the Marvel films and nothing else.
And then tried to put together a story based on that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so you've watched them all. What's going on in the universe?
In the MCU, what would you say? What, who's the big bad? And they'd go, well, not that purple bloke. He just sits down in the chair and doesn't do anything. So yeah.
It's got to be...
A lot of the end credit sequences are just like things that are loosely tied into the film. Like Ant-Man and the Wasp, there were loads of end credit sequences that were just like Scott being small and doing things. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, it's been a long time since I've watched them.
But there's also ones where it's like just them sitting in a diner after New York has been demolished, and they're just eating.
So the shawarma bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanos takes the Infinity Gauntlet and goes, fine, I'll do it myself, like that.
And then proceeds to not do anything for several films.
Yeah, that's what.
Give me that one.
See, the less purple he gets, the more active he gets.
Yeah, maybe he's got some kind of a disease. And the purpleness is like a symptom. And it's just, and as he gets less purple and more to his natural colour, which is that sort of pink that he is in in Endgame and in Infinity War, maybe that's healthy Thanos. Yeah. We're watching him when he's that incredibly vibrant purple. That's why he doesn't get out of the chair, because he's really ill.
He's fighting
Mate, we figured it out. Let's get Kevin Feige on the phone.
So we know what you're up to.
To win £1 billion.
We know what you're up to. This isn't even the 10-minute bullshit. I had stuff planned, but we've just fucking railed. And
actually, while we've got Kevin Feige on the phone, I might ask him why he always wears a hat.
Maybe
I feel like you might get a hot head at some point, and then you have to take the hat off. But I've never seen him without a hat.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't know him.
No, I don't. But it makes me inherently distrust him the fact that he constantly wears a hat.
I've never seen him without a hat. The Marvel executive that you've never met before and have only seen in a handful.
My busy mate Kev. I've never seen him without a hat.
Oh, that's good. Oh man.
Right, if you've got something planned for the bullshit, go on.
I'll do it quickly, right.
Do you reckon it's possible to spin that wheel and only get like one click?
There you go.
I don't know what I was expecting, but that was somehow...
How could you possibly spin it and like properly and only get one click?
I don't know. Take the clicker off.
Well, I'd break the entire wheel for you and your madcap notions, Lewis. But how's your wheel getting on? That sounds great in the podcast. Yeah, it doesn't work anymore because Lewis wanted to hear one click, so I had to dismantle the thing and just spin.
Lewis insisted that we destroy the wheel. Sorry, guys.
Well, what I've got is lying in social situations.
Right.
You know that if you're
as opposed to lying in private situations.
Yeah.
Lying to yourself.
Yeah. Mm. It's like if you're in a restaurant and someone comes over and is like, "Is everything okay?" And you would never in a million years ever say, "No, it's shite. Like, fuck off." Ever.
Okay, I've got to say, I've done that before.
Have you?
Come home and say, "How's your food?" Yeah, of course I have. Have you never done that?
No.
Yeah, we went to this pub that was near us. Because the food used to be, like, really good. So thinking, oh, great, yeah, it's under new management. Food will probably still be good because it'll probably still be the same staff working there. So yep. We went down and we ordered food. And it was on, like, I think I ordered, like, a burger and it came with chips. And the thing that stressed me out was I was, like, going to eat my chips. So I picked up this little bucket they were in and poured them onto the plate and put the bucket back down. And I saw something in the bottom of the bucket and I thought, the fuck is that? And I picked it up. The bottom of the bucket, no shit, was rusty.
Oh my god.
And I was thinking, what the fuck is wrong with that? And then I was like, right, well, I can't eat the fries, I guess. I suppose I'll have some of the burger. And it was like, okay. It was not a good burger, but it's not like an expensive, it was like a budget sort of low-end place to eat, but it was what I was expecting, really. But the guy came over and said, "Is everything right with your food?" And I went, "Actually, mate, no, this bucket my chips are in is rusty. I don't really want to eat them." And he went, and he took it off me, held it up to his, up and sort of looked into it like you would with, like, not a telescope, because he didn't put it to his eye and close the other, but, like, he sort of looked into it, and he sort of reached into it and sort of scratched the bottom, and he said to me, God, I'll never forget this, "Yeah, I don't think it's rust, mate, I think it's just dried on food," and he expected that to make it okay. And I just sort of looked at him and went,
"Oh my. Yeah, but
that's not better. If anything, that's worse. Because that means it just hasn't been cleaned." He went, yeah, okay, mate. I tell you what, you can have dessert free to make up for it, like." So me and Chloe were there and saying, "Okay, yeah, I mean, we're not that hungry compared to like dessert, but yeah, if it's free, we'll go crazy." So we looked at the menu and I think I forget who ordered what, but I think one of us had, like, an apple crumble with some custard, and one of us had, like, a... I don't know, it was, like, a treacle sponge or a sticky toffee pudding or something like that with some custard on it. And we're both dead excited, and they came. We both looked at them and thought, "Oh, these look quite good." Because they were in, like, I don't know how to describe it other than a soup plate. Do you know what I mean? It's like a sort of... It's like a bowl with a big lip on the edge.
Yeah.
They both came in that and was thinking, great, yeah, okay. So Chloe sort of literally had a spoon hovering above the thing she was eating. And I went, hang on. "Is your plate dusty?" She went, "What do you mean?" And all around the rim of the plate, it was like, for example, right, you know when you're, you know, in like your kitchen, you've got the hood over the hob that like has got like an extractor fan or whatever in it.
Yep.
When, if you don't clean that for a while, it becomes a strange mix of like oily and dusty. I know this from having moved into a house that was like not the cleanest, but like, yeah. I was like, oh bloody hell, what the hell's wrong? So I was scrubbing away at the overhead thing in my house, and I was like, oh right, okay, and I cleaned it all off, and I've never seen it again since, until I went into this pub and ate this dessert, and I was thinking, no, look, the plate here, it's dusty. So I literally sort of swiped my finger along the edge of it like you would with a dusty shelf or something.
Oh, no.
And it was like dusty and my fingers were like sticky from the plate. And I was thinking, they've been in an environment where they've been in an oily kitchen and then the cupboard has been shut and the oil has dried onto the plate.
Oh.
And then dust has formed and settled upon the plates. So you've got dusty, oily plates that you're serving me food on. And I went up to the bar and went, mate, what the hell is this? Like, you're serving me food off filthy plates. I'm not going to eat this. In the end, I don't think we actually really paid anything for the food.
Oh,
I think,
my God.
I think we paid for Chloe's main. And I think we maybe paid half price for mine, or we paid for drinks or something. But, like,
yeah,
it was just an absolute shit show. I haven't been back since. So, I mainly because I'm terrified of getting, like, salmonella or something.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, we both ordered veggie food. So, we were unlikely to get, like, raw chicken or something. But, you know.
Just get out-of-date carrots.
Which is essentially the same as a normal carrot, just a bit, well, I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
like a fermented carrot, I suppose, is kind of a rotted carrot.
Yeah.
But that's like pickle, I don't know. But anyway.
But, I mean, I didn't really mean, like, if the food was, like, abysmal. You know, that way, it's like, if someone comes over and puts fucking a plate in front of me with dust and oil on it, I'll probably say something. What I mean is, if you order something and...
Yeah.
The food just isn't that nice. I wouldn't say anything then. But if you were,
I'm not sure. I think I have. I think, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm very aware that these people are getting paid not very much to work long hours, where they'll have people like shouting at them saying, "This barbecue sauce isn't purple enough, you twat!" And they're stood there getting paid not very much to just take this abuse.
Yeah,
really is what it is. So I always try and be very, very kind and very, very calm about it and just say, look, I'm really sorry, mate, but this isn't hot through.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. I think I'd bring it up. I don't think I'd be a twat about it. And I wouldn't be like, this fucking pasta is not cooked al dente, you twat.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. But I don't know. I think I would mention it. Maybe I'd say, yeah, it's okay. It's not quite... Like, I'm happy to eat this. I don't mind. But, like, you know, it's not hot.
Yeah. I mean... Have you ever, like, seen, like, embarrassing social situations, have you ever done anything that you normally wouldn't to sort of save yourself from embarrassment? It reminds me of that quote from The Thick of It. It's like these government ministers have got this economist in, and, like, a key worker that they know has died, and it's all over the news and all that, and they're right. Getting the blame for it. And the government, this government aide is sort of making jokes about it and all that, and just laughing at the two of them because it's practically their fault that he's croaked it. And then just to sort of get the economist out of there so that they can deal with it, they just agree to set up a community bank.
Right.
That costs £2 billion. And then it's like a coalition, and then when the other minister comes back from this sort of trip that he's been on, he's like, Peter, I have some news. Today we set up a community bank. And he's like, You did what? You set up a bank? And he's like, yeah, well, Glenn was beginning to croak, Phil was, you know, jumping about, it was getting embarrassing. You bought a bank out of social embarrassment. I sometimes buy the big issue out of social embarrassment. I don't buy a fucking bank.
Yes, no. Like, I think in a restaurant, for example, going back to the restaurant situation, I'd be more likely under social pressure to just think, I'll just order like a Coke. Because I don't want to be like, okay, so what beers do you have? tell me what beers you have and I will pick from those beers or whatever it might be. So I would, like, everywhere will have Coke or something close to it. That's a really safe bet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I'm just trying to be polite, chill the situation out, I'll be like, yes, I'll just have a Coke. I don't even like Coke. I'd order it just to not make a thing at the table. I'd be there drinking it going, yeah, this is all right, it's all right. It's really quenching my thirst. Yeah, taking a sip and go, yeah. No, I would not be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's curious what we do to sort of let conform to the sort of social order, isn't it?
Oh, gotcha. But the thing that always gets me with the, like, conforming to the social order, as you say, when it's you doing the thing that could be embarrassing, you're hyper stressed out about it. Do you know what I mean? You're like thinking, what are people going to say? What are people going to do? What's going to happen? Like, but then from an external perspective, you just don't really give a shit. It's like, the best example I can come up with is when you forget your lines on set. Like, when I forget my lines, it really stresses me out.
Yeah.
And I'm stood there thinking, I'm wasting everybody's time. Oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. But if somebody else forgets their lines and they're like saying, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm like, I have to sort of look at them and say, I literally could not give less of a shit. It's okay. This happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I think that your mind is your own worst enemy with these kind of things, because my mind is just, if I do something wrong, it just goes into like a nervous wreck mode, and like, I'll just try and overcompensate for the thing that I've did. I mean, oh, I'm so sorry. And then it's to the point where the person that has been affected by it is like, okay, right. Yeah, shut up. Shut the fuck up now, okay?
Yeah.
It happened, let's move on.
Apologies is like, sort of fake apologies, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where, like, say somebody's like, oh God, I was about to like, start vaguing people left and right. But like,
That dick Phil. See him?
But that's what gets me about apologies, is like, when they're apologising for something, but they don't really care that much. It's like, sorry, but I don't know how to cook vegetarian food, so you're just gonna have you can have some pork. It's like, no, I'm not. I would more soon bring some sausages or something.
Yeah. Or it's like any time someone says something wrong on Twitter, it's like they apologise. But do they fuck mean it? They don't mean it. It's like, just because they get caught.
I know what you mean. I think it's with me, my great fear of doing something like that is like, I'm just a dumbass. I genuinely think there's a point where I could make some kind of a mistake just due to me being an idiot.
Yeah.
But, you know, cross that bridge when we get to it. But I have just thought of another example of something I've done due to social pressure. It's a bit more intense than the others, but we're going to go with it. Right, so it was my father-in-law's birthday party.
Uh-huh.
And we're all at this pub, and they put some food on. I think it was just like sort of fairly standard stuff, like burgers, chips, stuff like that. And they knew that I was vegetarian. There was a couple of other people there that were vegetarian. So they did some veggie burgers. And I went up to the guy who was giving out the burgers, and I was like, yeah, I'm veggie. We've got a couple of veggie burgers. I'm like, yeah, great. Handed them over, and I started eating them. And Chloe was sat next to me eating... can't remember what it was, like another burger or something. And I turn to her and say, I don't know what's in this. What tastes some of this. What do you think it is? And she goes, I don't know, it just tastes like a normal veggie burger. Maybe it's a bit like crunchy though. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, yeah, it is crunchy. That's really weird. Now carry on eating it. I start to get like an itching sensation on my tongue. And on the inside of my throat. And I'm thinking, babe, I think there might be peanuts in this. I think there might be peanuts. And so we turn to my mother-in-law, who organised the party, and say, Vaughn, what are these that you're doing? And she goes, butternut or something. They're something. And she turns to the bartender who'd prepared the food and says, what are these you've served? And he says, oh, they're nut roast burgers. Me, allergic to peanuts. I was sort of saying to my mother-in-law, no, I'm fine, don't worry about me, I'll be perfectly fine, I've got a drink and I'll be fine. And I actually turned to Chloe at one point and said, you know, just to not make it awkward, I'm genuinely considering just finishing these two burgers. Like, I'm not that allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
Like, I eat some peanuts and I maybe itches my tongue for, like, 20 minutes and then I'm fine. But so I was just saying to Chloe, you know, I'm genuinely debating just eating these and just saying, oh, well, you know, that's fine. I'll take the L on my tongue.
So did you eat those two? Yeah, these things happen, you know.
My face is swelling up and I'm there.
You're on the ground. You're on the ground clutching at your throat. Don't worry, I'm all right.
But as I say, I'm not that allergic. I think I just went and sat outside and drank some water. I was fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, that's just another one that sprung to mind. I was just genuinely sat there eating this nut burger thinking, well, I'm very allergic to nuts, but
yeah,
who gives... I don't mind. Just want people to think I'm okay.
There was... I remember one. I mean, we're going over here, but it's fine. It's fine.
It's gonna be a long episode.
It's gonna be a long episode. I work in a garage. When I'm not acting, and there was one time where the card machine had went off, and we were getting someone over to come and fix it, and this builder guy came in because they were working on the road, and he bought a small water and a sandwich. And it amounted to like £1.50, and he was like, "Can I use your card machine?" I was like, "Sorry, it's not working at the moment." And then he was like, looking at the till next to me. Now, you're not allowed to use anyone else's till because it mucks up the float for the end of the day. So he went, "All right, okay, is there a cash machine?" I went, "Yeah, there's one outside," and he went out and got £10 and came back in, and by that time a colleague of mine had went onto the other till and started using it, and he could see a customer was using the card machine because that card machine was working, and
he just looked at you and launched his small water directly through your skull.
He looked at me and said, "Wait, that card machine was working?" And I went, "Yeah." And he went, "Well, why the fuck didn't you put me on that one?" And I said, "Okay, well, there's no need to swear at me. The reason that I didn't is because we're not allowed to use anyone else's till because it messes up the system and their float for the end of the day." And he was like, I might as well have just waited for that one." And I went, "Well, yeah, you might have just..." And he went, "Right, here, just fucking take the tenner." I said, "Mate, please don't swear at me, right?" And he was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I know, I can see that you're upset that you didn't get your water and your sandwich in the time that you like, but don't start coming in here and swearing at me, because I'll just not serve you, and you'll just be told to leave, so don't." And then he didn't say anything after that, and I took the money, put it into the till, and gave him...
friendly place.
Yeah, I gave him his change, and he was like, "What are you doing, you diddy?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" And he went, throwing it into my hand like that. I went, "Mate, do you know how much change I've got? It's impossible to throw it into your hand." I'm talking £1.50, and I had to give him like £10 worth of change, and I had to like place it in his hand with both of mine. And I was like, "Mate, I didn't throw it into your hand." And he went, "Aye, you did. I saw you." I said, "Well, you must be seeing things, because I didn't." So he was like, "Do you know this?" And then he started walking out, and he went, "This shop is a fucking disgrace." And I was like, "Well, fucking get out, just get out, leave." And then he stormed out, and I never saw him again. Twat.
He is a bit of a twat. I'm lucky enough to have never worked sort of frontline face to face with customers. Like, I'm very glad. Like, my only interactions with any kind of client or customer is like digitally through an email or something. So I'm glad, and I'm very lucky to have done that. But in my day to day life of interacting with dickheads in Tesco or whatever it might be, I found the best response is to be like aggressively kind. I was coming out of like the bread aisle at Tesco, and I think I had like a basket or something. I was rounding the corner, and there was a bloke with the trolley who was like stopped in the most inconvenient place, and I was just like stopped short of like smashing into his trolley, and I went, "Oh, good one, dickhead." And then, like, just under my breath, thinking he wouldn't hear me. And then I turned to walk down a different aisle, and he went, "What did you just say to me, you sarcastic twat?" And I said, it's okay, mate. Don't worry about it. Have a lovely day. Enjoy your shopping. And he was like, you fucker. I was like, oh my God. But yeah. I was like on my way out and I was in a rush. So I was like, oh, I can't be bothered to stand here and deal with this. Have a lovely day. And just walked away.
I mean, you're lucky, you know. It's another quote for the thick of it. It's like, oh no, I don't want to meet the public. They're fucking awful. It's like, Peter, you can't say the public are awful. Yes, I can. I've met them.
Oh God.
No, the thing is, everyone, mostly everyone, is just a decent person who just understands these kind of things. But you just get people who are just so used to being told yes and getting everything that they want.
It's this sense of entitlement.
Yeah. I should have. See when you walk away from an argument or something like that, you just wish that you'd gone even further, because it would have just felt so good to say, "Listen, you building cunt, get out the shop before I fucking do you in your fucking." I mean, he'd have punched the fuck out of me, but I mean, it felt felt good to think about it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right, I think we've exceeded the amount of bullshit for today.
I think we might have done. Go on, Cocker. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Black Mirror, and we're going to talk about two episodes, mine and Lewis's two favourite episodes. And we're going to start with Lewis's, and this fits quite nicely into the sort of social order and you know, abiding by it.
Being horrible to people or not.
Yeah, this episode is called Nosedive.
Yeah.
And it was written by Michael Schur and Rashida Jones.
It's written by Michael Schur and Rashida Jones. Bloody hell. Really?
Yeah. Surely you know that by looking at the credits, Lewis.
I have looked at it on IMDb. I must have just scrolled past the names. Because Michael Schur did he did Parks and Rec, he did Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Rashida Jones obviously was Ann Perkins in Parks and Rec. And she was in The Office as well as Karen... Yeah. What's the face?
Well, there you go.
But anyway.
But it's based on a story by Charlie Brooker. He's sort of the main writer. If you don't know what Black Mirror is an anthology series where each episode is different, and it's sort of like a self-contained story each episode, and it's technology and sort of dystopias and things like that.
Just I think the idea of the name Black Mirror is like turning a mirror on society. But it's negative consequences. It's like, what's the worst possible outcome of VR, or what's the worst possible outcome of whatever it might be?
Yeah, I mean, you know what it actually means, though, don't you? What Charlie Brooker was thinking when he came up with that name?
The thing to do with the phone screen.
Yeah, when you turn your phone screen off, it's a black mirror looking back at you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like looking into the void, and the void stares back. Or shouting into the void. And the void shouts back.
it was directed by Joe Wright. And it is starring, this is season 3 when Netflix picked it up, so you'll see a lot bigger names now, because it's
a huge budget uptick. Yeah. Isn't he like Miley Cyrus for season 5 or something ridiculous?
Oh, season 5 was shite, but
I haven't watched. I actually stopped watching after series 3 because it was just everything was so bleak that after every episode I was just thinking, "Fuck, I can't watch anymore."
The sort of template that works for Black Mirror is that the technology is the furniture, and it's the people that are the central focus. Whereas in season 5, it sort of lost its edge and sort of just was on about, you know, how technology is bad. It's like, no, it's human beings that misuse them. That's what makes it interesting.
I completely agree. I think that's what gets me about, I mean, we're going to talk about USS Callister in a minute, which is your favorite episode, but like that's what gets me about that. It's human horribleness amplified by technology. That's kind of the thing of it.
Completely. And it is starring Bryce Dallas Howard, who is a famous actor. Alice Eve Cherry Jones and James Norton. So yeah,
pretty cool.
Opening statement.
Sure. One of my faves: Nightmare Social Capitalism. Enough to make you kill yourself and then some. It's literally sort of my worst nightmare. It's like, as someone who's had anxiety for like his whole life and suffers with social anxiety on the day to day, And like, there are times my wife and I will leave a shop or a restaurant or something, and I'll turn to her and say, was I all right to the waiter then, or was I a bit of a twat? And that's constantly something that's in my head. So to see this reflected in this literal points-based system, which is in everybody's eyes, on everybody's phones.
Oh, God.
Everybody knows how... that it's just a horrible, horrible situation.
Completely. A warning about society drifting towards a place where appearances and status are what matter. No allowance for unhappiness or imperfection. I genuinely could not think of anything more horrific. Instagram influencers ruling everything? Fuck that.
Oh, God, yeah. That's something that's like... that is sort of worst nightmare level situation. I mean, imagine if like a famous person had said... like just for the sake of argument, imagine they'd said in 2016, you know, I'm famous, I think I might run for president. And imagine then if they'd won. God, imagine what a shit show that would be. That would be insane. But yeah. Anyway.
Imagine, and then in 2020 it happens again, and it's like nobody's learned their lesson, and it just keeps celebrities who know fuck all about anything just keep running for shit. And people are just like, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, fucking brilliant.
I mean, right. Let's suspend the thinly veil of it. But like, yeah, what's it? Kanye has announced he's running for president.
Oh yeah,
or something insane. Like, which is, I mean, I have a great number of opinions about that, but that's for another day. This podcast's already half an hour long. We've barely talked about the show, but yeah, it's like, I remember when Trump first got elected, people were saying, let's get Oprah Winfrey in for 2020. And I was thinking, no, let's just not get any reality TV stars in. Let's get politicians in. As much as, all right, I have a lot of views on politics, obviously, because everybody does. But, like, surely it's better to have a politician than it is to have a reality star.
Someone who knows things. Someone who actually, like, knows about the economy and people with great moral standing are people that I want in office.
Yes.
People that actually want to help those in need, rather than just, yeah, I'm just going to blow everyone's minds and say that I'm running for president and I'm just going to yeet it, you know, and people are just going to vote me in because people are just so tired of the way things are that they're just going to go fuck it and just do it. That's ridiculous.
Let's change the status quo, and then 4 years later we see riots. It's like, come on. What did you think was going to happen? You elected... Oh, right. Anyway, let's talk about fucking Black Mirror. Yeah. Christ.
I can start off the Creepy Room questions with a statement that I think you'd really like, Lewis.
Yeah.
If society was like this, I'd be a communist, hands down.
Guess what, mate? We're already there! It's
Well, I mean, if it was as bad as this, like appearances and sort of ratings were like currency. Mm. I would definitely just fuck it and just be like, no, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah,
just
go live in the desert, streets. Build a little shack or something. Yeah. Out of all the characters in this episode, I think I identify most with Bryce Dallas Howard during her insulting based meltdown. It's that sort of anarchic sort of, I just hate this system. It's constraining every aspect of my life. I can't buy the house I want. I can't get the car I want. I can't get in the right plane that I want. I've got to just... I'm just limited by what other people think of me. That is just horrific.
Yeah.
Like in our current world, there's a lot of, like, self-care and prioritizing that, and a lot of, like, who cares what other people think? Do what you want to do because it makes you happy. Yeah. Rather than prioritizing, like, what other people are thinking. But in this world, that's literally flipped on its head. We have to do the thing that other people think will make the... Everything becomes that sort of political grandstanding that I hate. Like standing in front of a building you've never been into, holding a book that you've never read. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it essentially makes everything a political act.
Yeah,
everything.
Completely.
You have
represent the independent political party of you. And you're just trying to win elections. That's every single... Oh, God.
I mean, my favourite character in the whole thing was Susan, the truck driver that helps.
Yeah.
Oh, she was lovely. She was just like, I used to do it all the time, and then I was just like, do you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, you just get rid of the system. I just don't care anymore. You know what?
I'm surprised that people haven't been like that in this society. or maybe that maybe there are speech riots or something like that. We're just it's mm. not it's not even it's not even people fighting or anything like that. It's just like hundreds of people shouting obscenities at people. Go fuck yourself, you dicks! Just like that, just all over.
Maybe they have like one night a year. It's like the purge, and they just like hurl insults at each other. You fucking twat! And then, like in the morning, they're like, "Ah, good morning, Jeff. Yes, I made some lemon bars last night. Do you want to try one?"
I mean, yeah. I wrote, "What a despicable world," and then I was like, "I'm only 2 minutes in. For fuck's sake."
It's like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's what gets you about a lot of the Black Mirror episodes is. Before long, you realise that all of the characters are living in hell.
Yeah,
it's just a minor tweak on our current life, and it just becomes hell, which is just horrific. The one that the episode that actually stopped me watching the show was that episode where I've forgotten the character name and the actor's name, so this is going to be a hard one. The boy from End of the Fucking World.
Oh, shut up and dance.
Yes, that's the one. What is it? He does. He robs a bank. And because they found him watching some child porn or something. And I remember thinking, my God, that constant surveillance and everybody blackmailing everybody. And it was the scene that I had to turn off. I just couldn't watch it anymore was when he was sort of holding the gun in the bank. And he's just so terrified that he pissed himself.
Yeah,
he's
but
just
you
like,
don't...
I just don't want to do this. I just don't want to do this. I hate this. Do you know what I mean?
The horrible thing is that you just think that he's just, you know, just been watching some regular porn and has just he thought it was private and he did what you know people do, but then it's like and you're wondering throughout the entire episode you're like right I mean I know
been,
it's
can't have been that bad maybe it was some kind of fetish it can't have been and then it's like oh my god
it's I mean it's not that bad I would rather have social embarrassment than do all the things that he did and then he gets the phone call from his mum and it's like kids Kenny you've been looking at Kit and then I'm like oh my fucking god!
That's so many episodes of Black Mirror revolve around that sort of like, for the whole episode, somebody is set up to be the hero. And like that episode in particular, you're thinking, Kenny is like, this is an unjust thing. He's just going to be embarrassed. He's a teenage boy and he's like embarrassed. And then at the end, it's like, kids Kenny. And you're like, oh my god. And suddenly he becomes this horrific villain of the piece. It's,
I mean, even still... It's like, what happens to it? He kills someone for the entertainment of these trolls and then is walking by himself, like, drenched in blood. I think the message of that is that it's we get off as a society on punishing people and watching people. Like that's where we could end up. We could end up sort of relishing, punishing those who have done wrong. I mean, Kenny is a horrible person and he deserves to be punished, but
yeah
that sort of nihilistic way of looking at it, it's like yeah we're just going to watch you kill a guy and we're going to watch you do all these things for our own sake. That's not punishing someone for doing something wrong. That's just fueling your own sort of horrible animalistic pleasure of watching someone ruin their life. That's just
there
horrible.
Are so many episodes where like there's no winners. There are no winners here.
Yeah.
Like Nosedive is an example of that. The other one, which is another one of my favourites, what's it called? 15 Million Merits?
Oh, where, yeah. Well, it's a...
Oh,
it's,
bugger,
it's,
what's his name?
It's Daniel Kaluuya.
The guy from Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya. Where he's trying to get the merits to win the talent contest. You think he's going to kill himself on stage, and then he trades all that capital in for just like a slightly better apartment and some orange juice.
Yeah, and then his like, pretending that he's going to kill himself becomes part of the system.
Yeah, which is horrific. But then I remember that I watched that episode at about the same time as like a season of X Factor or something.
Yeah.
I remember watching it and then X Factor was just on. I was like, oh, well, I mean, at least it's music. It's something to have on when I'm doing something else. And I remember putting it on and then thinking, yeah, this is really horrific.
Yeah.
Because Simon Cowell, it doesn't matter what the contestants do. Simon Cowell will profit no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And it's literally, we've literally just picked these four people to judge singers almost at random, to just say like this is just sort of we believe in the power of these people even though we probably shouldn't.
Yeah,
it really is horrific.
Now I know how X Factor and like Britain's Got Talent like work. It's like it's you're made to believe that everyone just lines up and they apply, and then you go in and do your audition, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. No. There's months and months of vetting processes. So you have to do, like, 13 auditions or something ridiculous like that before you even get to the actual TV show. Yeah.
It's because they're not evaluating your singing ability. They're evaluating your drama potential.
Yeah. So someone who is absolutely shocking at singing, these people put them through because they know that they're going to embarrass themselves, so they do it for the sake of just entertainment. This poor person who's been made to believe that, oh yeah, they're really good at, I'm really good at singing, I mean, I got through all the audition stages, and then get to the final sort of bit where it's lit, it's on television and all of Britain is watching, and then they just embarrass themselves. And
yeah, I mean, you're right.
And you're sitting there on the other end of the screen going, oh, they're shite, aren't they? They're shite. Without even considering the person's feelings or what's going on through their heads. Like, it's monstrous. It's a monstrous way to go about things.
No, you're completely right. It's putting essentially the livelihood, the everything of each individual in the hands of Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
It's just like, it is horrific. But it anyway, really back is. To Nosedive. It's like you're making everyone a mini Simon Cowell. Do you know what I mean? It's horrid.
I mean,
God.
How see if it's like a world based on appearances, right? How can any of these cunts be in the high ratings? They're all insufferable bastards. Like, all of them.
I suppose it's exploiting other people in a way. It's like sort of, well, I've got a high rating, so if you want a high rating, you better give me a high rating.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like a standoff.
Yeah.
Thing is, it's like it personifies this sort of, I mean, I've talked about capitalism at length on this podcast, but this sort of takes the thing I hate most about, like, obsessive, extreme capitalism, which is, like, someone is actively saying, okay, well, I won't pursue a cure for cancer because I want to have that money in my bank account instead.
Yeah.
That's the choice you're making. But, like, if this system was rolled out today in this world, wouldn't you just rate everybody you came into contact with 5 stars? Regardless of how nice they were to you. Because, like, you know how much their life, their livelihood depends upon this score. Bryce Dallas Howard started the episode at, a 4.2, 4.18 or something?
4.2, yeah, and then she sinks to 0 point something.
Yeah, which is like, just in the course of a day, 2 days, whatever it might be. Isn't that just horrific?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's like, it's for shit that didn't even, like, it wasn't her fault that the flight got cancelled, it was the airport's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was miffed. As you know, as you could, and she's a victim of this system, or she is obsessed. She needs to be at that wedding, when it's like, no, it's a fucking wedding. It's like, but no, because ratings and being, you know, looked upon favorably as, that's money. That's what you need.
It is money.
To survive.
It's getting her into that flat that she wants to get into, and yeah.
Yep, and Chez, the poor guy who was in the office handing out smoothies because his relationship broke up. And everyone just happened to take the side of his boyfriend. He isn't allowed into his work because he's sunk too low.
Yeah,
he isn't allowed to do his job. And then he loses his money and he can't pay his rent. And then he's fucked because of his fucking relationship status. That's hell. That's hell.
It's like, I mean, number one, who designed this system? Who designed...
Whoever it was deserves to be put to death.
Well, yeah. I think, the only thing the system has going for it is that it's easily overthrowable. As in, with coordinated effort, if you just say, right, everybody just give everybody else 5 stars. Doesn't matter what happens. In that case, the system becomes useless. Or everybody give everybody 1 star. Everybody give everybody no stars. Everybody break your phones in half. Do you know what I mean? Because it's easily overthrowable. That's the only redeeming feature. The other semi-redeeming feature is that there's been no sort of overlord god type person saying, I will decide who... I will decide what is a moral action, what is an immoral action, and that'll be the end of it. There's nobody deciding that. It's all sort of like a peer-to-peer network almost. It's
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what politicians are like in this world.
insufferable. Politicians are insufferable in this world. They'd be insufferable in every world.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But it's like, do you think that they'd have to be really a lot more palatable to the public, or at least find better ways of hiding the vile things that they do? It's like, because it literally is money. It's like, if you don't do what society wants you to do, you're gonna just fucking fall into poverty, essentially. Mm. Which is like, so politicians must,
especially someone so sort of public facing as a politician.
They must live by polls. They must live by them, and that's just it.
What should I have for breakfast? And live and die by
the mob.
Scrambled egg on toast versus fry up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
See. I mean, it's a genius sort of way of. It's got comedy. It's got comedy in it, and there are funny moments in it. But I think, despite all the sort of horrific shit that happens in the other episodes, this is just, because it's so smiley and so bright and everything's just so lit, neon, and it's just meant to sort of be the future, and oh, it looks all brilliant, but it's just,
you scratch off the veneer.
Yeah.
It's this rotten thing underneath.
It's one of the most horrific things I've ever seen, honestly.
Mm. Mm. 100%.
I pray we never get to it.
Yes, completely. Anyway, have you got a closing statement, Cocker? I want to talk about the other episode.
I do, yeah. Appearances for currency, fuck that. Who dreamt this living, waking nightmare up? Mm. Go and eat a raw onion and choke on it, you dick.
A terrifying near-future social apocalypse. Literally one of my worst nightmares made real, which opens a door to a good many questions. I really like this episode. I could watch it loads. It's really good.
So could I. Well, that is a... That's a nosedive. Whee!
Clap, nosedive. Nosedive.
And then now we're on to my episode, which is a good gin. It's called USS Callister.
Indeed,
and
it is.
It was directed by Toby Haynes, and it was written by William Bridges and Charlie Brooker. And it's starring Jesse Plemons, Kristen Milioti, I think. Sorry if I butchered that name.
I haven't got it in front of me, but yeah.
Jimmy Simpson, Michaela Cole, Billy Magnuson, Malanka Brooks, and Ozzy Akeley. I'm so sorry about the names. I can't. I'm illiterate, essentially. But opening statements.
A chilling tale which takes you on a very classically Black Mirror journey. Spooky as fuck. It's, again, it's that classic sort of protagonist journey in a Black Mirror episode of, like, you start off and you think, oh, he's just downtrodden, he's just, like, everything about him is, you know, I feel sorry for him and all that sort of stuff. Then with each new revelation about Jesse Plemons, you think, oh my god, he is the worst person ever.
Yep. A scathing critique of the toxic fanboy and how bitterness and resentment can cause a great deal of harm to those around you, as well as falling into a tyrannical state of mind.
Good shout.
Yeah. Do you want to go first with this one?
Yeah, okay. So, what was the speed at which Jesse Plemons went from vaguely downtrodden coder to willing to murder a fake child? What was the gradient like there? What do we think? Was that a week long process? Year? 2 years? Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it brings up a really interesting question, because I have an Xbox and I play games on it, and I do immoral things in games all the time.
Mm.
All the time. There's a game called Grand Theft Auto where it relies upon you to be immoral in order to progress throughout the game. But it's like, does doing bad things in a game mean that you're like that in real life? I mean there's no evidence to suggest that it does, but
no,
I don't know if that applies here, because it's different, because gaming has become to the point where it is almost another reality. where people can feel and think and speak in the same way that human beings can. So it's like, at what point do we say, right, well, this isn't a game anymore, you're just living another life?
Well, yeah, that's the horrifying thing about this, is he's essentially, like, digitally cloned them, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is terrible. He's generated a second set of employees entirely just because he hates them and he wants to just subjugate them to horrific conditions. It's just horrible.
It's fucking awful. Awful. Yeah. I've got to say, Jesse Plemons fucking gives a really good performance as this.
He's really good, yeah.
Just this hot, just at first this meek guy who's just trying to get through the day without embarrassing himself, and then when he goes home, he just is this monster, this horrible fucking nightmarish. But I'm just curious as to what extent is he really like that?
I'm not sure, because I suppose the question is, how much does he feel he's torturing the people inside the computer?
Yeah.
Because if he believes, okay, that's another life form and I'm torturing them, or does he believe these are essentially just, it's like setting fire to a picture? What does he think?
Yeah, he creepily sort of harvests their DNA. Mm. Anyone that would go in there and hear the people talk like that, it's like they speak like human beings do, and they can reason like human beings do. It's almost like the Sid question, isn't it, from Toy Story? It's like, Sid tortures toys, but did he know that they were sentient and could feel things, like, properly? But I think Robert must have known.
That world, didn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like they react in the same way that human beings would. It's like, he must know that they're just, that they can feel things. But it's interesting because it made me think about what I do in games and things like that, and I was sort of judging myself as I was, you know, robbing banks and killing civilians.
I know exactly what you mean. I think I'm sort of I'm like that. Like in GTA, I'm just like, yeah, fuck it, who cares? It's not real. It's just a character in a video game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then, like, you think, oh god, what if all the characters in my Xbox are real? What happens? But like, that's just because it's like all of the Black Mirror episodes sort of hinge on like a three or four word sentence. Like, what if your mum ran on batteries?
Yeah.
So, well, that's horrifying for a starter. Where do the batteries come from? Are they just AAs? What happens if they run out? Do you know what I mean?
It's absolutely. I have a question. It's a bit of a sciencey question. Mm-hmm. Why does the DNA that he harvests copy their memories?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Surely it would just be like, I don't even fucking know. What, like, just DNA? I mean, what would that, would it even create a full version of you?
Yeah, it would. Personality, you might be like a blank slate, because I think your personality is sort of determined by your upbringing and your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I don't know, memories, I guess not. Like, there is evidence to support the idea of genetic memory, of, like, just things that are, like, an ingrained, a social thing almost, like a fear of fire or whatever. That's just something that's sort of ingrained in society. You don't have to tell a child, don't touch the fire, because a lot of the time they'll be like, they might hesitate, or it's a strange thing. But, yeah, you're right. Maybe Jesse Plemons is, like, downloaded their brain, or in this situation where people are routinely sticking brain chips to the side of their head.
Yeah, maybe maybe
they've got like a, yeah,
like everyone that uses them has like a sort of, like, sort of a there's a database of how people think, and it's like, well, maybe maybe that makes sense, because the thing would have to know how you think and act so that you can act in the game, surely. Which is, I don't know. I mean, I hope games don't ever get to that stage.
Yeah,
because
completely.
Because some fucker would do that. Some fucker would have a modded version of the game and just put their co-workers in and start fucking torturing them to death and all that. Oh, horrible. Horrible.
Gotcha. It's, there are lots of little, I think, don't get me wrong, great episode, but there are lots of little things I like as well. Like, that in the Enterprise, well, it's not Star Trek and it's not the Enterprise, but like
Space Fleet.
But in the Enterprise, there are lots of things that are just quite similar to Star Trek. Like, the consoles make similar noises, and, like, the theme song is quite similar. It's that sort of theremin. It's very, like, quite iconic now and all that sort of stuff. I like that. But, like, even the monster is a person.
Yeah.
Like, the big lizard thing. How would... Oh, God, that's insane.
It just turned this poor woman into this horrible creature. It's like, I mean, there's just no legislating for people like him.
Yeah.
Just these tyrants that just feed off of pain and suffering.
Right, I've got a question. It's similar to a question I've asked on a previous episode of Whisper, but Jesse Plemons gets pizza delivered. There appears to be no technological difference between our 2020 pizza delivery system and his sort of, say, 2045, 2050 pizza delivery system. I want to know, why not? Why is there not a better way of delivering pizza? Why is there not, like, an Amazon or a Papa John's drone that's flying it to his window and firing it in?
I don't know. Fuck knows. I guess because people aren't too concerned about. I mean, that would make that guy's job then obsolete, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Take away his livelihood. I mean, that might not be his livelihood. I'm just making a bold assumption there. He might just do it on the side. But it's like, I don't know. I think that we get rid of human beings doing jobs at our peril, I think.
No, don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I'm just saying that in a world building.
No, I know. I'm not even. Yeah, Lewis fucking hates everyone and just wants the world nice and easy for himself.
No,
that's,
I think
no. I would never say that because it's just not true.
Yes, it's not true at all. It does. It is a bit sort of. We're going to go on a bit of a tangent now, as we like to do on this podcast. But I think in this sort of situation we're in now, like historically speaking, say everybody worked on a farm, and then they invented a motorized plow or a tractor or whatever it was, and then people would stop working on the plowing and they'd start learning how to fix a plow.
Uh-huh.
And then that's like an increase in your quality of life because you're not trudging through mud. You're fixing engines and you're inside and it's a better job. It's a better life.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we're getting computers to the point where a computer could fix a computer. So, like, it can run through a diagnostic list, change something. Removing humans from the sort of bottle-up equation completely, that's just not a good... It's not a good look.
It's going to happen.
Yes, and I don't want it to...
For the people, you know, who make ridiculous amounts of money and are just at the top of society, they're just going to realise that a computer is going to be able to do it better, so we don't need those silly human beings anymore.
The apes that are running around the planet's surface, we could just have a computer do it instead.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's gonna happen at some point, unless things change. Fucking hell, Jesus. Well, they couldn't get two robots to replace us, Lewis, so...
No robot could replace then again, the shite that we do.
Now that I'm thinking about it, they replaced Anne Robinson in that episode of Doctor Who.
They did, this is true.
Android. Get it? Because her name's Anne?
I do. I like that he got a bad ending, but it was sort of at his own comeuppance. It almost would have felt cheaper if it had been like police knocking down the door and arresting him.
Yeah,
I mean, that makes sense. But I like that he sort of... Oh, bless you. I like that he had... Oh, bless you again.
Bless
but
me.
I like that he had this sort of horrific sort of comatose ending where he can't get out of the game. And
Do you think he's dead?
That strange thing. Sorry?
Do you think he's dead?
No, I think he's just sort of stuck in the game. He's comatose or whatever. I imagine that it's like... He would just die of starvation eventually.
Yeah, because I was thinking, oh, well, someone's just going to go round and see him. And then I was thinking, no, wait a minute, it's Christmas. He's got 10 days... before anyone gives a fuck about him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's just gonna... He'd die of, like, dehydration by that point before he even got to food. Do you know what I mean? So,
which is horrendously terrifying.
Fucking hell. Did he deserve it?
No, maybe, don't know. That's a good point. I'm always... My view on, like, crime and punishment is, like, I always feel like they should... If it's possible to get away for... Somebody to give back to society in some way, that should be the goal. But then somebody says, well, give me an example, and I say, well, I can't. I know very little about this. I am unable to have given you an example.
Yeah.
But I really have no idea.
In the sort of horrific television world where it's like irony is what kills people, essentially, he did deserve it. But if this actually happened, it's like, I don't think anyone, just for, because the only illegal thing that he's done, really, is harvest some, and is that even illegal? He's harvested some DNA of folk, and
it's
just
not
put
illegal,
it.
It really should be.
Yeah, I mean, it should. That's a different, you know, question. But it's like in this society, it's like gaming seems to be everything. But if that, say all that was illegal, I mean, it's like, yeah, but I don't think he deserves to be trapped in a game, and his avatar can sort of feel his own body like starving and dying as he's trapped in this small confined space, as just darkness around him. I think that's horrific, and I don't think anyone deserves that, to be honest.
It's it is horrific. Yeah, it's horrific. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all happy chappy for the guys that get through into the actual Infinity game until the game crashes or they put it out of commission. And then, you know, it's like no one's playing it anymore because they're all playing GTA 17 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think the thing that makes his struggle so much, Jesse Plemons' struggle so much more human, is that it's sort of ironic in a way.
Yeah.
If he'd have been assertive, if he'd have lived his life and thought, right, I'm going to be assertive, like not Captain Kirk or whatever,
yeah,
then he wouldn't have these feelings. He would be fulfilled in his life. If he'd have gone next door to the office next over and said, look, my office is shit compared to yours. Yours is three times the size of mine. I want a bigger office. And do you know what I mean? If he'd have been assertive about things and driven for things, then he wouldn't have had these feelings. But instead, he just chose not to and went down this path and spiraled deeper and deeper until he's torturing people in this virtual reality world.
Yeah.
Isn't that just so horrific?
I mean, what else is interesting is the fact that his version of Infinity, they've got no sex organs whatsoever. So that's, and we know that in the actual Infinity game they do have sex organs.
Yeah, because, so that must be a choice that he deliberately made at some point.
So it seems that he has a very immature way of looking at sex as well, and he can't really sort of, he's sort of repressed, and he sort of takes his, I mean, because he, it's, honestly, now that I'm just thinking about it, what a fucked up episode, because
yes
I'm getting shouted on. Wait 2 seconds, I'm recording. I've heard nothing, so I'm
that's staying in. I like that.
but what a fucked up episode, because it's like maybe from his perspective he's just seen it as, I can't really be assertive in real life because I'm too afraid and I'm too sort of I'm recording. Jesus Christ. Do you hear that?
Just about, yeah.
Right. Sorry. What a fucked up episode, because it's just like from his perspective he must be just like, oh, I'm quite repressed. I can't really sort of assert myself. So I can escape in this game where I can, you know, assert myself and be, you know, a bad guy in that, because that just makes me feel a bit better about myself. But the code rebels. The code is that sophisticated that it rebels against its creator and ends up killing him. It's like, yeah, he's a complete and utter arsehole and a just a horrible human being, as it seems. But it's like Frankenstein's monster. It's like the thing he made has just come back to bite him and is now like...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
I mean, you're completely right. It does have that Frankenstein element to it. It's just like, the more I think about all the little things he changed, like they sort of glossed over it a bit in the episode, saying, oh yeah, he reskinned us to look like Space Force or whatever it was. Space Fleet. Yeah. But that's actually kind of horrific. It's like he's got this sort of god complex of like, no, I just want everything to be my way, and if it's not my way, then I'll turn you into a big lizard monster.
Yeah, and if it's not my way, I'll steal the DNA of your son imprint it into the game and then throw him out of a fucking airlock.
Yeah. How fucked
Jesus
up is that?
Jesus Christ.
Listen, when he walks into the bridge or whatever it was at that point, he literally got his face down, eyebrows
See
up,
his
he looks
face.
Like some kind of a demon. Oh, God. You know, oh, I'm going to flush God. Your son out of the airlock. God.
That is like fucking disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no other word for it. I mean, it's just, oh my God. I'm hesitant to say evil because I have my own problems with the concept of evil, but it's just like, what a fucking malevolent, horrible thing to do.
It's just like, deliberately twisted, deliberately horrible, deliberately everything. It's just horrendous.
I'm not going to do what you say. Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm just going to clone your son and kill him in front of you. How about that?
Yeah, I'm just going to kill your son in front of you endlessly.
What person thinks up that shit? Mm-hmm. Do you know what did annoy me? And it's not because I wanted Daily to win. It's like, it didn't make sense from like the sort of own rules of the own world. So, see, when he's chasing them in the ship... Mm. Why didn't he just say exit game before they got to the wormhole? Because they've already established that they can't pilot the ship while he's in the game.
That's a good point, actually. Could have just, maybe he was just caught up in it. It's like an obsession for him at that point. He's got they're sort of going outside of his god complex, so he's just really pursuing them with this extreme determination.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Because he spawns back in the ship each time, so it's like he would be able to just stop them. There and then, do you know what I mean? So, but I guess that's what you get.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been a darker ending, wouldn't it? Imagine the chase is just going on, and it's like, come on, get to the wormhole, and then you just see Jesse Plemons' face. He's like, oh wait a minute, oh exit game, and then he just goes out, and then the thing goes, and they're like, oh fuck, what happened? And then he comes back in, and he's like, haha, bitches, and just turns them all into fucking. Horrible
lizards.
That would be would be the most bleak ending.
The other episode that's really bleak is that one play test. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where there's that traveler and he's trying to get some money and he without even knowing it he died in 0.7 seconds or something. And that's the ending is like he just died a pointless random death in half a second.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing sort of shaming us for not calling our mum. At certain point, it's like, fuck's sake, I better call my mum now after that. I mean, for Jesus Christ, it's like his mum calls and that's what kills him. Oh my, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrible.
God. Right, I think might be at an... Sorry, go on.
Just before we go, I like the Aaron Paul cameo at the end.
Of USS Callister?
Yeah, the gamer.
Oh God, what's that? Was that Aaron Paul?
That was Aaron Paul, yeah.
Oh God, yeah, no, I know I sort of... Yeah.
We're going to blow each other. We're going to trade, bitch.
No, I hadn't.
King
even
of Space.
Two together, but that's a really good point. King of Space. it's nice to have a Black Mirror episode that ends on a semi-happy note. Rather than, oh no, the Prime Minister's marriage is falling apart because he fucked a pig or whatever it was. do you know what I mean?
That is, oh my God. Charlie Brooker. You fucking genius. That is exactly what you are, though, when you're in a video game. You're king of space. And what is space? It's just emptiness.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Just void, as far as shouting into the void.
I think that's one of the reasons I struggle with playing video games a lot of the time, is I'm very aware that, like for example, when I stop work at 5 p.m. every night, I'm very aware that I still have that urge to, like, be productive and do things. So I have to try and find somewhere to scratch that itch, be it reading a book, cooking food, something like that. That I can actually see some kind of product that I've got. Either I can put a book down and say, I've finished that book, or I made this lasagna, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the struggle I have with video games as well, is it's like, yeah, I've got this achievement, and nothing, I'm no better off for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm aware that all hobbies, essentially, are just ways to do not very much.
No,
but
I agree.
It just blows my mind. Yeah,
I agree. You know there are so many there's so many good episodes of Black Mirror. It's like we should do it like another one of these, because mm-hmm. there are so like some episodes that I mean that is my favorite episode. But it's like there's just ones that are so good that you just can't, you know, sort of not talk about. I think we should definitely consider doing another one of these.
We'll have to revisit it sometime.
I love Black Mirror, man. It's great. Mm.
It is very good. Anyway, Cocker, have you got a closing statement?
I do, yes. A terrifying and yet fascinating look into the future of virtual pleasure. The realer it gets, the more vigilant we must be, or some deep shit.
Such a good episode. So much work and craft went into it. Complex, impressive story that's truly surprising, hair-raising. It had me along for the ride entire way through. Absolutely loved it. This is really good. I like Star Trek anyway, but this just feels like Star Trek made bad. Do you know what I mean? Star Trek made
perversion.
Yeah, I really like this episode. It's really good.
So do I. Well, that's us. That's Black Mirror, or a bit of Black Mirror. Lovely.
Yes. We shout into this void or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Where we shout into a mirror and the mirror shouts back.
Yeah, the black society shit and all that. Yeah.
Imagine if we wrote an episode of Black Mirror. That's how it'd turn out. Yeah, society's kind of shit, I suppose. Yeah.
We should do that. We should do that and publish it and just be like, what do you think, folks? It's like, yeah, it's great, but why does Danny keep looking to the camera and winking? It's like,
why does Danny keep looking to the camera and doing finger guns in a really conspicuous way and nobody comments on it throughout?
Just before we get on to the shilling, do you know what's another really good anthology show?
What's that?
Inside Number 9.
I've never watched that.
Oh, watch it. Watch it.
I will. It's going on the list. I still haven't watched The Sopranos that you told me to watch.
Yeah.
I've downloaded it all and I keep looking at it thinking, yeah, I'm going to get started on that sometime. I'm going to get started on that. Then I never get around to it.
Well, it's shilling hour.
Indeed it is.
I am on Instagram at Ohiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel K. Actor. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
I'm on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley. I'm on Twitter at Lewis_Brindley4. And I have a Facebook page, which is called Lewis Brindley.
Definitely. Excellent. Excellent.
We are hosted by Podomatic. The podcast is on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on YouTube. It's on Deezer. It's on Google Podcasts. If you look, it's there. And if you build it, they will come. That's what you've got to bear in mind. But yeah, the podcast everywhere. It would mean the world to us if you could leave a nice little review or a comment or subscribe. That would mean the absolute world. Thank you very much in advance for doing that. And finger guns to camera.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are partnered with a wonderful company called Strudel LTD. And Lewis, I believe it's your turn to edit this week, isn't it?
It is my turn to edit this week, and that's convenient because we have an advert, and the advert is this. Hey Dan, do you ever drink things?
No, actually, I don't.
Right, well, that's messed the ad up then, hasn't it? Oh, good grief. Well, if you're not a massive weirdo, then you might like to drink things from time to time. And sometimes you might even like to use a straw.
Yeah, and there are lots of options available. I've got a metal one, and they come in plastic.
Bad for the environment.
Or paper.
Falls apart immediately.
Yep, which is why strudels are out there. Strudels are straws made out of pasta, and straight away both of those problems Lewis just said are solved. The pasta will decompose in a day after you throw it away, and they'll stay strong in your drink for at least an hour.
Exactly, what's not to love? Plus they're super convenient. Having a couple of them in the cupboard will mean you don't have to keep cleaning a metal straw every time you do the dishes.
Indeed it will. Check them out today at strudels.co.uk. You will not regret it.
God, that's beautiful. That is incredible. Those two blokes, I don't know who they are, but Lord, they are... God, they just sound incredible, don't they? They just sound good.
Your intro to that was brilliant, because I always say now, and you just went, our advert is this!
Oh, God, right. Carry on. What's next on the shilling? Go on.
We have a PayPal donate button. We're on Patreon.
We are. We're a lovely little community on Patreon. I love our little Patreon. It's nice.
We do. And our community consists of five absolute sweethearts. They are Chloe, Darius, Sophie, Peter, and Aditya. Thank you so much, guys.
You're amazing. One and all. You support the show. You make it possible. It's nice to have a little chat in the Discord every now and then. We're having a chat last night about the podcast that they got on a day early. We're having a nice little chat about that. I really like it. I really like the Discord. It's really good.
So do I.
And I'm going to go higher for my next point. What's the next point?
Hey, we have merch.
What's a merch? We're selling mugs. And we're selling jumpers. And we're selling t-shirts and stuff.
Tote bags and shit. Yep.
But yeah, we've got plenty of... We've got loads of different merch. There's loads of good stuff. We've got jumpers. We've got t-shirts. We've got mugs. We've got absolutely loads of stuff. We've got stickers now at all. I love a good sticker. I might buy myself a Shouting Into the Void sticker. God knows. But go and check it out. Link will be in the bio, in our bios. Link will be in the description. Link will be everywhere.
Definitely. And last but absolutely not least, we are partnered with yet another fantastic company.
Indeed.
Called Number 12 Crochet Avenue. And Lewis is going to take the reins for this one.
Number 12 Crochet Avenue is a crochet business that my wife runs, where she takes commissions and makes beautiful items thereafter. I know that this sounds like I'm saying it because she's my wife, but I'm not. It's genuinely a really good company. I believe in like sort of handmade, handcrafted items. It's a bit of a segue, but one of my favorite mugs that I own is one big one that I had commissioned and made just for me, and I really love it. But she does absolutely amazing stuff. She just had some more yarn this morning, which I think she's posted about on Instagram. The Instagram is at Number 12 Crochet Avenue. She makes beautiful things. The Instagram itself is bellissimo. And go and check it out. It's really good.
Mwah! That wee... Mwah!
Yeah, the chef kiss thing. Mwah!
Yeah.
I'm sure that's nice if you're wearing headphones.
Yeah.
Me and Danny right up close. Mwah! Mwah!
Mwah! It's ASMR.
Oh God,
ASMR son. I don't. That doesn't really make sense, but well, that's us.
Indeed, it is. Yes, I believe that is everything.
What are we doing next week, Lewis?
Well, next week we are doing a film which one of our patrons, Peter, has requested that we do, which is another perk you get through the Patreon. It is The Purge.
Yep.
It's like The Purge, Morty. It's like that movie.
It's like The Purge.
So yes, check out The Purge. I'm sure you'll be able to find it online somewhere, or maybe you've got the DVD. Do people even make DVDs still? Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I've got DVDs.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't bought a DVD since, like, 2013 or something. But anyway. But yes, make sure you watch The Purge before next week so you know what the fuck we're talking about. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Be kind, be happy, be hydrated.
Fuck's sake. Are you Peter Capaldi regenerating?
What do you mean?
That's like, he said like be kind like 15 times when he was dying. He was like, basic stuff first. Never be cruel, never be cowardly. And then he's like, always try to be nice, but never fail to be kind. He's like, oh, and be kind. Oh, fuck. It's like,
and
yeah,
did he
we,
then
get,
say,
we get it.
Google it.
Google it.
Google
this
it.
This is called... He's got a weird Scottish accent. It's sort of like mixed between... Some of it goes English, some of it... Right, we're digressing here. The podcast is over. I'll do that for the 10-minute bullshit next week.
Okay. I'll hold you to that. So anyway, it's The Purge next week. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a good old week. We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Bye.